Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how is everyone doing? We had such a great session in my group coaching program this week, and we were talking all about people pleasing and how often we are trying to manipulate and control the ways that other people think about us to make us feel safe and to make us feel accepted, which was something everyone in the group could really relate to. And there were some amazing moments of realizations, and it was just so fun to watch the members of the group really create these shifts and notice this way of thinking and challenge it and start to feel some power over their own brains. It's honestly the most amazing thing to witness. And I mention this because seeking to control our partners and friends in some way, seeking to control the way they are thinking, feeling, or acting, is very relevant to today's episode. And I'm going to be talking about the very common thing that people say, which is, if they really cared about me, then they'd ... insert whatever thing you've decided. Maybe it's, if they really cared about me, they'd text me back faster. Maybe it's, if they really cared about me, they'd do the dishes when I asked, or compliment me more, or initiate sex more often, or come home on time, or invite me to their work events, or whatever it is. And listen to my episode on manuals. That episode is going to be really useful for you. I think it's one of the earlier episodes, because it's the same concept that I'm discussing here. So definitely listen to that if you haven't already. And it's just the idea that we all have manuals for how other people should show their love and care for us. Manuals as in expectations, instructions. We all have set ideas of how other people should show up to relationships and how they should act and who they should be. Should is the important word there. We have these ideas of how other people should be behaving, and then lo and behold, they don't act in that way. Have you ever noticed that? How terrible people are at following our manuals and doing things the way that we want them to be done. They're absolutely terrible at it. And when people don't act the way we want them to, we then have a ton of negative thoughts about that create negative feelings for us, and then we blame them for us feeling negatively. So in this particular context of this episode, what I'm talking about is when we have a manual for how someone else should show that they love us and care about us. And you'll know you have a manual if you say things like, if they really cared about me, then they'd do this thing. Your brain has decided that this is your set of instructions. This is the thing that someone has to do in order to prove that they care about you. How love should be expressed, how care should be shown. So if they really cared about me, they'd call me back when I called them, might be a manual that your brain has. Or if they really cared about me, they'd bring me a coffee in the morning, or whatever it is. And so what's happening here is our brains are witnessing their behavior. Maybe they didn't call us back or invite us out or do the washing up, whatever it is. And it's making that behavior mean that they don't care about us or love us. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe you make it mean that they don't respect you or that they don't enjoy spending time with you. Either way, you make it mean something negative that feels very painful to you. And I know we can all relate to this because we all do it, every single one of us. I definitely had this with friends. My brain would say, they should text me back within a day. And if they didn't, I would make it mean that they didn't like me or care about me. Yours might be, my partner should initiate sex once a week, or my dad should ask me about my job more. And whatever it is, it's important to recognize that our expectations and manuals don't tend to be random. We often think these things because it's the way that we would act when we love and care about someone. So with my friendship example, I knew that when I liked someone, I would make texting them back a big priority because I was always on my phone. So if I liked someone, of course I was going to text them back, which made it easy for my brain to then believe that if someone else liked me, they of course would act in the same way that I would. I was assuming their brain worked the exact same way as mine and had the same thoughts about texting, the same ideas as mine did. But just because your brain works in a certain way and you act in a certain way when you love and care about someone doesn't mean that everyone else will. Everyone's brains are working totally differently. And what you do when you love and care about someone might not be what they do. And this is really important for us to remember, that our brains are wired and programmed by so many different things that make them totally unique. Our childhoods, our past experiences, our memories, the people we used to spend a lot of time around, the people we spend time around now, our biology, all of this impacts the way that we naturally think about all the circumstances in the world. So expecting other people's brains to operate in the same ways that yours does is kind of crazy. And I say crazy with love because my brain is crazy too. But I see this a lot with my clients, and I especially see it with texting. Texting just seems to be one of those things that every human brain has a lot of opinions about. Whether it's texting your partner or your friends, there are so many different preferences and ways of operating when it comes to the speed, the frequency, to all of it. Some people take their phone everywhere and respond instantly. Some take their phone everywhere but respond between 3 and 5 working days to the people they love the most. Some never really look at their phones. Some do but hate having conversation through text and don't want to talk to someone via text. Some like to get to work and just focus on their day job and put their phone away and not even look at it all day. Some people like to go on their phone every 20 minutes. We all have totally different preferences and habits when it comes to our phones and responding to people's messages. Yet time and time again, I see my clients feeling so anxious and insecure because of the speed or frequency that someone is texting them. And it's because their brain has made their behavior mean that they don't care about them. And when we add this negative meaning to other people's behavior, we create so much unnecessary disconnection. Because when we believe that they don't love or care about us, it's natural that we then want to withdraw from them. Or we maybe show up to the relationship in ways that prevents connection and actually creates more disconnection. So moving away from the texting example, maybe when your partner doesn't say I love you or compliment you as often as you would like them to, you then maybe act a little bit off with them or don't go and give them a cuddle when you really want to and don't give a compliment to them. So you hold back from them. Maybe when your friend doesn't ask you as many questions as you would have liked them to, you make that mean that they don't care. And so then you don't try and share with them anything about your life. You don't go to them and tell them things. You withdraw from them. Or maybe you don't withdraw from them, but your just experience of the friendship or the relationship is just a negative one and you're just having a negative time. This is why really separating out the facts of other people's behavior from what your brain has made it mean is so, so important. And I can't say that enough in all of my episodes, because we create so much unnecessary suffering when we believe our primitive brains and don't question the interpretations that they're giving to us. And another thing that a lot of my clients will say to me is, okay, so we all think differently about different things. But if they really loved and respected me, they'd do what I asked them to do, wouldn't they? If they know texting is important to me and my brain, or being affectionate, or saying I love you every night, whatever it is, surely they should just do it. They should just want to do it because it's important to me. And I know a lot of you will relate to that way of thinking. And I want to first of all say that we should totally make all the requests in the world. If we want more affection or date nights or text messages, we should ask for them. We want to communicate the things that we would like to experience and have in our relationships 100%, because if we don't communicate them, we have no chance of getting them if the other person doesn't know about them. But don't confuse love and respect for obedience. By that I mean, just because you want something and you enjoy it doesn't mean that your partner is going to feel the same way or that it's going to come naturally to them and that they're just going to obey your command. They may be happy to try and do those things for you, but they might fail a lot of the time because it doesn't come naturally to them. It's not their brain's natural way of operating. And I want you to really imagine this in reverse. If you've ever been with someone or even friends with someone who wants you to behave in a certain way, who wants you to do something differently, and it just doesn't come naturally to you. It's not how your brain naturally operates. Think about how hard you find doing that thing, because it isn't your brain's default. And sometimes it might be that they don't actually want to do those things at all because it just doesn't feel good and natural to them. Maybe it feels forced and it just isn't how they want to show up or how they organically show up to the relationship. And a lot of my clients will have this idea that if someone loves and respects them, they will just do whatever they ask without question, which I think comes from a lot of the discourse around needs that we see on things like Instagram and TikTok. We see these ideas of how your partner should meet all of your needs, and we end up feeling very entitled to manage and dictate their behavior and tell them how to act in a way that suits us best based on what feels good to us. And when we do that, we're totally invalidating the fact that they are their own human being with their own preferences and needs and wants. And they are entitled to show up to the relationship in an authentic way that feels good to them. They don't just exist to show up in the relationship in the way we've decided that they should. They have their own autonomy. They are their own human. We aren't entitled to change their personality and natural way of being in the world just because that would suit us better. That is not love. That is not a loving, consensual relationship. That is control. And when we make their lack of obedience mean that they don't love and respect us, we again are creating so much unnecessary disconnection. When in reality, them not sharing all the same wants as you, the same desires as you, maybe when it comes to texting or giving compliments, and them not being willing to change themselves in a way that feels uncomfortable to them, that doesn't need to be taken as a lack of love or care. You can imagine that you can love and care about someone very much and still not want to do things that go against what feels good and comfortable for you. You can want to be honest and authentic to yourself and love and care about someone else very much. Those things don't contradict each other. And of course, sometimes we'll make requests of people and they will totally be willing to make the changes and they'll totally be willing to text us more or cuddle us more at night or give us more compliments, whatever it is. And that's great. It's great if they're willing to do that and that feels good to them as well. But other times they won't. And it's important that we challenge what we make them not being willing or able to change in that way mean. Imagine your partner had a manual for you and ways that they wanted you to behave that didn't feel natural and authentic to you. Would you feel good about forcing yourself to do them? Do you think doing that would help you create the connected, loving relationship that you really wanted? Because this is really the thing. When we're doing things we don't want to do and they don't feel good and natural to us, we're doing them from a place of obligation, which only really creates resentment and disconnection, if you think about it. Which is kind of crazy when the whole reason you wanted them to behave in this particular way was because you believed it would create more love and care between the two of you. If you really think about it, we actually would prefer that our partners and friends show up as their authentic selves, because that is going to be what creates more connection. And it's only your belief that they're doing it wrong, that their authentic self is incorrect or bad or wrong in some way, that they should be different, that creates any kind of problem. It's our resistance to them being who they are that creates the disconnection. So I want you to think about some of the ways that you would finish that sentence. If they really cared about me, they'd whatever. Is it text you more often, initiate meeting up more, invite you out with friends, be more affectionate, whatever it is. First get awareness of it and then ask yourself, why am I believing that that's true? Whatever the thing is, notice how you're attaching how much they love and care about you to that thing. And just get curious. Is it possible someone can love and care about you and not always behave in this way that you'd like? And get really curious. What might be going on in their brain when they behave in the way that you don't like? Literally imagine what their thoughts might be when they do that thing or don't do that thing, whatever it is. And don't just come up with one option. Brainstorm a few things. Brainstorm alternative things they could be thinking that have absolutely nothing to do with you not being important to them or them not caring about you. And consider, how might their brain think about this thing in a way that differs to yours? And this question is important because right now you're making your behavior or way of doing it the correct way. and deciding that their way is wrong, and you're making their behaviour being wrong mean that they don't love or care about you. But you want to really consider, is that really what this is about? Or is it actually that they have a totally different way of thinking about this thing to you? Is it maybe that they just aren't very into compliment giving, or that they really don't like texting, or that they're really bad at remembering to text back? I had a member of my group coaching program talk about this the other day, and she was saying how her partner doesn't compliment her when she puts on makeup or when she wears a nice outfit, and she made this mean that he wasn't attracted to her. But when we dug into it, she said that he had openly admitted that compliments make him feel very uncomfortable, so he just isn't very used to giving them, which makes total sense if you think about it. If your brain thinks of compliments as being uncomfortable for someone, it kind of makes sense your default isn't to offer them out very much to the people that you love. And that has nothing to do with the level of attraction that he feels towards her. So really consider that. How might their brain just operate completely differently in this area to the way yours does? And you also want to consider, what evidence is there that they do love and care about you, even though they don't follow your manual in this area? When we're believing someone doesn't love and care about us, our brains will tend to go and look for all the evidence that supports that theory, completely ignoring all the evidence that suggests they do totally love and care about you. So we don't get to enjoy all the things that they do and feel loved by them. It blocks us from feeling loved because our brains are so committed to proving that they don't care. So ask yourself that. When I'm believing this means that they don't love and care about me, what evidence am I discounting that proves the opposite or suggests the opposite? And another thing for us to think about when it comes to this is, why are we so obsessed with working out how much other people care about us? Because this is usually the next question. My clients will say, well, if everyone acts differently when they care about someone, how are we ever meant to know how much someone really cares about us? And of course, I'll first of all say that we want to be in relationships where we're treated with love and respect. This isn't about changing our thoughts to put up with abuse or staying in relationships with no boundaries. No, none of that. That's not what I'm advocating here. This isn't about blinding ourselves from the facts of relationships or actively pursuing relationships with people that treat us badly or who clearly don't want the kind of relationships that we're wanting to have. Of course not. We want to find people that want to have the same things as us in relationships and pursue relationships with them. We want to go and find those people and create loving relationships with them. But in any relationship, you will actually never know for 100% certainty how much someone cares about you. How crazy is that to think about? Like, you think you do. You think you definitely know how much they care about you. But how much they care, one, can't be measured. Like, how would we even measure that? And it's just the sum of their thoughts, whether they think caring thoughts about you, whether they have those kind of thoughts that create care in their body for you. And you actually never know what thoughts are going on in someone else's brain, ever. Someone could be acting in ways that your brain deems to be totally caring, while secretly they're just doing it from a place of resentment and obligation and they're not caring about you very much at all. Someone could not text you for a month or even longer and still feel so much care and love for you every time they think about you. But often what I see is my clients' brains are really committed to deciphering and determining how much someone cares about them because of what they've made that mean about themselves. So if my partner loves and cares about me enough, however we judge that, then I can believe that I'm lovable and I'm worthy of caring about. And this is kind of a subconscious thing that's going on there. It's like, if my friends like me and feel close to me, then I can believe I'm likable. Or if my partner loves me and cares about me, then I can believe I'm good enough. We base what we think about ourselves on what they're potentially thinking or feeling or doing, which of course makes working all of this out feel very high stakes. So notice if some of that is what's going on for you here. Are you so obsessed with whether your partner really cares about you because you're making whether they do or don't mean something about you as a person? And if so, get really curious about that. Why would their thoughts about you mean something about you as a person? And this is where I like to teach my clients and my group program members the concept that we are all neutral circumstances in other people's lives. And by that I mean we all just exist. And what creates other people's feelings towards us, feelings of care or not care, is just their own brain. Their brain and its unique thoughts. That's why some people can like you and feel good about you and want to hang out with you, and other people maybe don't have nice thoughts about you and don't want to hang out with you at all. If you were responsible for creating other people's thoughts and feelings about you, we would all have the exact same response to everyone in the world, which clearly we do not. You don't create how much someone else loves and cares about you. You don't create it and you don't control it. Because their thoughts do and you don't control their thoughts. And when your brain is obsessively trying to gauge how much everyone else likes you or cares about you, it's usually a sign that you aren't liking or caring about yourself very much. There's often some insecurities you have about yourself that you're trying to either prove or disprove based on how other people interact with you. It's like your brain is using their behavior to try to either think negative things or more positive things about yourself, to prove these beliefs true in either way. So separating out how they act from your worth and value is what's important here. Working on believing that how much they like you or how they show that love or how they act towards you actually has nothing to do with you and your likability and your enoughness, and everything to do with their unique brain and its unique way of thinking. That's really important. And you may just find that when you do this, you're able to love and appreciate them and yourself a hell of a lot more. And I have an episode on lovability, which will also be really useful for you. If you know this is something you struggle with, definitely go and check that out. Okay, guys, that's all I've got for you today, and I hope it was useful. The next round of my group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, is going to be opening its doors next month. And in order to make sure that you don't miss out on any updates on this, you're going to want to go and get yourself on the waitlist. So I'm going to drop the link with all the details and the link to the waitlist in the information section of this episode. So definitely go and check that out. And of course, can I ask that you do a little something for me? If you enjoy these episodes, please can you go ahead and give this podcast a rating on whatever platform you're listening from. This is how I can keep reaching more and more people and spreading the word of this work. So it would mean a lot to me. Okay, guys, I hope you all have amazing weekends, and I will speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.